Hello, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay, and welcome to Mosaic House Church Online. Thanks for having us in your home. I'm so honored to be with you. Now, do you know what was the greatest economic downturn that occurred in North America? Was it the 2009 Great Recession? Ooh, that was pretty bad. Was it the 80s recession? Ooh, that was tough too. How about the Great Depression? Well, some historians, economists believe that the greatest economic downturn was actually the near extinction of the bison on North America, or what's known as Turtle Island in the 1800s. And they argue that the effects of this near extinction is still felt for us today. If you know the history, prior to the settlers coming to North America, there were over 30 million bison all across North America. And it's said that the indigenous communities had some of the highest quality of life on earth because of their symbiotic or their harmonious relationship with the bison. However, when the Europeans came over, these numbers of the bison were severely depleted as many settlers were killing them for their fur, for money, but also for sport, and also to weaken the indigenous communities who relied, really were dependent on the bison. And at the end of the 1800s, there were an estimated 200 bison left in all of North America. And as a result, today the indigenous peoples are some of the poorest communities in the land. You can write this in your notes. If you don't have your notes, you can click on the resources tab. One writer argues that the loss of the North American bison was arguably one of the largest economic shocks, not just in North America, but in history. And the effects are still today. My wife's relative works in the forestry department. He's a scientist, and he argues that they recently kind of found out that the relationship between the bison to the grasslands, you know, bison would go into the tall grasslands, eat stuff, you know, use their hooves to rough it out, and then, you know, do their business, along with the relationship to the indigenous peoples. They would be hunted, they would always move around the land. That relationship severely decreased the number of widespread wildfires in Alberta, in North America. And now scientists are trying to mimic that relationship so that we don't have as many fires as we have been having. We're doing a series right now at Mosaic House Church, if you didn't realize, called, it's a brand new series, number one, is called Entrusted. And we're looking at the idea how we are stewards, caretakers of all of God's gifts. We believe that everything we have, all that we are, comes from God. That includes our talents, all that we do, all that we know, our treasure, all our resources and our finances and everything we have, and also our time. Every second on earth, every breath we take is from God, as well as the trees, not just trees, but all of creation, all that comes from God. And this idea of biblical stewardship isn't just managing money or finances, but it's a way of life. It's fundamental for us to understand that everything we have comes from God, and everything we do then is a response to God's gracious gifts. It's all about what we do after we realize that Jesus is Lord and He has given us everything. What do we then do about it? And today we're going to go right to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis 1, to Help us understand what stewardship means and what we are called to do as human beings. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, actually. And if you have your sermon notes, it's on there as well. But just taking this beautiful, beautiful story, and we'll kind of pinpoint it or focus in on our call as human beings. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to be separated from water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land, and to bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the night from the day, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the day and to govern day and night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. And let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock and the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. And God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all he had made, and it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful and true story you've given to us. In it, we see the beginnings of your beautiful world, and we also see where we come from and what you call us to do even today. So, Lord God, give us wisdom and what it means to be entrusted to your good creation. Help us to honor you in everything we do. We pray all this in the creative name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. If you write this down in your notes, God's dominion determines our dominion. Have you ever wondered if the environmental movement is related or connected to the gospel of Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say that we are called to rule, subdue? Another translation is have dominion over all of creation. I really believe that's true, but we're called to enact or live out our dominion in a very certain way. Scripture says that humans are made in the image of God, which means we are called to reflect to the world who God is. A theologian named N.T. Wright says, being made in the image of God means that we are a bridge between God and the rest of creation. You can write this down in your notes. Humanity is called to bring creation's praise to God. And humanity is also called to bring God's glory to creation. There's two parts to that. We are called to bring and show God's glory to creation. We're called to reflect God's love and rule, to rule like He does. And instead of ruling creation like a tyrant or a commander of an army, Jesus, our Lord, was and is a servant king. He came to the capital city of His nation, not on a chariot with an army, but on a donkey with His humble disciples. There's a passage in Zechariah 9 verse 9 which kind of foresees this Messiah, Jesus, our servant king. It says here, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we see that through Jesus' life, He came to defeat the power of darkness, the power of sin and death, not by force, but by service. By being humble enough to even sacrifice His own life on the cross. We hear this in Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus is our example of humility. In verse 8, He says that being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's how Jesus rules. And we are called now to rule like Jesus did and continues to do. This is the kind of domination, or dominion, sorry, we are called to. You can write this in your notes. Dominion, our dominion, is stewardship. God's dominion, His rule, His love, His reign determines our dominion. And creation is not ours to kill and destroy. It is a gift from God Himself. One of my favorite, a powerful verse in Psalms, Psalm 24:1, which says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's not ours. It's a gift given to us that we are entrusted to take care of. And we are not called to take care of it well. Now, you can write this in your notes. Genesis 1 states our dominion over creation. But then Genesis 2 describes what our dominion looks like. If you look at Genesis 1 and 2, are kind of two creation stories. They're the same story, but looking at it from two different angles. And while Genesis 1 says we have dominion, that we are called to subdue and rule the earth, this is what our rule is supposed to look like. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, in Hebrew, that word work can be translated to till, to actually physically work it, but it also can mean to serve. A second word, to take care of, is a word, can also mean keep, but also guard, or protect. And one biblical translation translates that phrase that humanity is called to serve and protect creation. And what's pretty cool is a scientist named Cal DeWitt. He's also a Christian in the Reformed tradition. He uses that, you know, a familiar word, conserve creation. And he describes it like this, and you can write this in your notes. Conserve, literally means to serve with. So not only to take care of something, but to serve alongside something. And what he argues is that the earth, all creation serves us. It gives us what we need, food, clothing, shelter, also beauty. Creation gives us beauty and also companionship. Animals always tell us that we belong. And now we are also called to serve creation. We serve each other. And serving and stewardship accomplishes by when we do these things, it accomplishes our purpose, our identity as being image bearers of God. That is, as N.T. Wright said, there's two parts. We bring God's glory to creation by caring for it, protecting it, and then also we encourage creation to flourish and praise, or flourish and grow. And as it does that, we are able to bring its praise back to Creator God. Scripture says that creation has its own relationship to God. They themselves love to praise God in their own way. And to describe this, and in a mysterious way, when they praise God, we kind of are that bridge. We are able to bring that praise to God. And one way to describe it, and I want to show you a video from an indigenous Christian perspective, and you might have heard that term Mother Earth, and the video says clearly that indigenous Christians don't worship Mother Earth, but rather that phrase is kind of a personification to describe all the earth. And like a mother, it serves us, it protects us. And like a mother, it loves to praise its creator. And just think about this as you watch this video now.
Mother Earth. A lot of people, a lot of Christians that I've come across, they don't like it when I use the term Mother Earth. We don't pray to Mother Earth. Mother Earth was created by Creator. She was created to provide for all of our needs, all of the necessities of our life. She provides good food for us. She provides medicine and fresh water. She provides things that we can build a shelter out of. Everything in creation, it has a spirit. Creator breathed life into us. He also breathed life into the trees, into the rocks, into the animals. And everything that has breath gives praise to the Lord. Isaiah 55:12 says that even the mountains will burst out into song, that even the trees will clap their hands. Jesus said that even the rocks would cry out to him. So we're not praying to Mother Earth, but we do recognize that everything on Earth has a spirit, and these are a part of all of our relations. God loves diversity. He loves creation. He loves to create. So when we talk about Mother Earth, that is not a bad thing.
Praise him, all you creatures. The bugs, the trees, the mountains. The Bible calls all creation to praise him. And have you ever wondered how creation praises God? Well, I believe the way that creation praises God is not through maybe a worship concert. We don't see gophers playing a little banjo. But creation praises God by living out exactly the way that God created them to be. They become the best mountain, the best bug, the best waterfall it can be. And in a maybe controversial way, mosquitoes, by being their own mosquito-ness, by biting us relentlessly in a way, is praising God, because that's what God created them to do. Creation praises God by following the Lord's command to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. And it's the same for us. We praise and glorify God when we live out who God made us humans to be, his image bearers, who love God, love our neighbors, and love all of the earth. God's dominion determines our dominion. God's authority and his sovereignty to love, to care for us, shapes and forms, determines our own dominion, the way we serve and protect creation. So how do we become good stewards? Well, I'm just going to give you three applications, and they come from, one, biblical principles, and also, which is very similar to many indigenous principles, but also just common sense. So let me just go through these quickly. One is, don't take more than you need. Write that down in your notes. Don't take more than you need. According to history, many Europeans killed the bison, not because they needed meat, but because it was a sport. Some historians believe that the purpose of this mass killing was to prove humanity's superiority over nature. Really, they exercised their dominion like tyrants, like murderers. And even today, many of our environmental crises stem from the fact that we are consuming way more than we need. And unfortunately, Canada, in our abundance, we are one of the worst in the world. This is a kind of an older study, but in 2013, one study argues that Canadians use far too much energy and water, and they produce more garbage per capita than any other country on earth. That's tragic. We don't need all that stuff. Don't take more than we need. Let us use less and conserve. That is, serve with. That as creation serves us, let us serve creation, protect it, not dump our garbage on it. It's a gift from God. It's his precious gift. How can we just disrespect and abuse this beautiful gift from God? The second one is, leave things as you found it. Have you heard that before? If you go to a friend's house, they let you, or someone lets you borrow their space, you know, people always say, well, that's the common sense, leave things as you found it. You ought to replenish all the things you use. If you take out the ice cubes from their ice cube tray, what do? Fill it back up. If you take some cold water from their refrigeration unit, put the water back. And also, if you end up making a mess in the place, what do? Clean it up. And since the earth does not belong to us, but to God, that should be our exact same attitude. When you spill oil and gas on the ground, clean it up. We should also hold accountable larger bodies, companies, when they make huge environmental messes. And also, we should keep encouraging people to plant trees when they're cut down, and to protect endangered species so they can replenish their numbers and multiply as God commanded. That's how they praise God, is by making little babies. And today, by God's grace, there are around 400,000 bison in North America due to conservation efforts. Can you imagine that? That is one way humans worship God and live out being image bearers by taking care of His creation. Now, we can go on and on how to do that, but I encourage you to check out this website run by a denomination. It's called the Climate Witness Project. It gives us ways that we can incorporate our spirituality and our creation care, and also practical ways on how we can be part of conservation, serving with creation. Check it out online. God's dominion determines our dominion. Last one is plan ahead. The killers of the bison did not plan ahead to the future. They just wanted instant gratification. They just wanted money for the furs, or just fame of being the best bison killer in the land. They did not see creation as something to serve with. And now we suffer today because of our sin. Look at all the fires we are facing today. And to be honest, if we are looking to the future, it does not look good. Because many people are not thinking about the future, they're thinking about the today and what they want today. Now, I'm not sure if you heard of this, but there's something called the doomsday clock. It kind of measures how close we are to some kind of big, huge Armageddon or kind of crazy catastrophe. And this year, the clock was set to 90 seconds to midnight. It's the closest we've ever been to a global catastrophe. And a large reason for that 90 seconds is because of our environmental crisis we are in now. Because we didn't plan for the future. Now that's a lot of bad news. Let me just end with some good news. The good news is that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who humbled himself on the cross, is the true image of God and the most perfect representation of how God rules. Look with me at 1 Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. It says, and through him, or for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus was the fullness of God, the full representation of God, the true image of God. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, we have been forgiven of all the times that we have failed to reflect God's love and image to the world. And also we are forgiven all the times we've failed to bring creation's praise to God. We have subdued their praise to the point of snuffing them out. And also, even more, because of Jesus' resurrection through the Holy Spirit, it says that all things, whether in heaven or on earth, has been reconciled to God, our Father and Creator. And Jesus promises that He will return so that creation will be redeemed. So even if creation collapses in this world, Jesus said he's coming back to redeem all creation, to make it the way he intended it to be back in Genesis chapter 1. We see a beautiful image of what this will look like in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. It says here, talking about this Messiah, Jesus who's coming, this is what he will do. The wolf will lie with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. Oh my goodness. The calf and the lion and the yearling will lie together, and a little child will lead them. We'll be back to this harmonious relationship. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, he's talking about Jesus, will stand as a banner for the peoples, and nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Wow. Jesus started that when he came, when he took on flesh. He started that, and one day it will come to completion. God's dominion, in the meantime, God's dominion determines our dominion. And through the Holy Spirit, he has freed us so that we can become, we can rule like him. We trust in the promise that Jesus, our servant king, has come and he is coming again. And as we wait, we are called to reflect Christ to all creation as his image bearers and wait for his glorious redemption and resting place with him for all eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. And with creation, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power and love. We praise you with the heavens, with the waters, with the air, with the oceans, with the hail and the lightning and the storms. We praise you, for your name alone is exalted, your splendor above the earth and the heavens. Thank you, Lord, and forgive us for times when we have not ruled like you rule. We have made an excuse and just done whatever we wanted, not thinking of the future, not thinking about your glory. Forgive us, Lord, and I pray you will heal. Pray that you heal that even today, Lord. Use us to bring your healing and your love to all of creation so all may know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give us strength if things get harder. And Lord, come soon, Lord Jesus, so that you can bring that vision of a little child carrying on this parade of wild animals and baby lambs all living together in love, in the love you've given to us. Holy Spirit, strengthen us and help us to groan for that time. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Again, we're so honored that you're able to join us at Mosaic House Church online. We'd love to hear from you. You hit the chat box. After we hear the good news of Jesus, we want to respond. So I encourage you, maybe pray us, say a prayer today, sing a song to the Lord, maybe chat with us, to tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. Go out in creation and experience his good news. And also, one way we respond to God's grace is giving of ourselves. God owns it all anyway. And as a way to declare that, we give of ourselves, our time, our treasure, and our talents. And one way to give is giving of your first fruits, the financial gifts God's given to us. So I encourage you, first off, if you have a local church, give it to them first. But if not, it'd be great if you will consider supporting the ministry of Mosaic House Church. You can click on the Give tab for more information. And I encourage you to, this is wonderful, glad you're here, but it's not enough. You need to have other people around you. I know it's hard, and maybe you've been hurt by the church, and that really sucks. I have too. But it's almost impossible to say that we love Jesus and not love his church, his creation. So prayfully consider that today, all right? And church is not be a building, but it's a team of believers to support you, to keep you accountable. And also a team of believers where you can contribute with the gifts God has given you to build up his church, all right? So if you feel comfortable, please stand as we close. I'll send you off with this benediction. May the Lord God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, give you a spirit of joy and thanksgiving as you join the orchestra of all creation. And may he continue to scrub clean the image of God in you and your community of faith so that the whole world will know that our Lord Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is the King of Kings, the Servant King. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.